Kings chapter 9, I want you to look in verse 1. It came to pass when Solomon had finished the building of the house of the Lord and the king's house and all Solomon's desire, which he was pleased to do, that the Lord appeared to Solomon the second time as he had appeared unto him at Gibeon. And the Lord said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication. Let me park right here and say, ain't it a great thing when God hears your prayer? Boy, that's a wonderful thing. When God, as I was reading this the other night, I thought about what a great thing when God just stops and says, I hear your prayer. Well, I'm glad there's a God in heaven today that'll hear your prayer. If you're unsaved, He'll hear your prayer for you to come and get saved. If you're saved today, friend, God wants to help you and He'll hear your prayer. That look what He said, I've heard thy prayer and thy supplication that thou hast made before me. I've hallowed this house which thou hast built to put my name there forever. And mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. Can I tell you, I still believe God's eyes is still upon that place this morning. That place of Jerusalem over there, out there where the temple was built, I still believe that God is watching that place. Verse 4, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, in integrity of heart and in uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded thee, and will keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever, as I promised to David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man upon the throne of Israel. But if ye shall at all turn from following me, ye or your children, and will not keep my commandments and my statutes, which I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I cut off Israel out of the land which I have given them, and this house which I have hallowed for my name will I cast out of my sight, and Israel shall be a proverb and a byword among all people. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you for this another day that you've given us. And Lord, it's come the preaching hour now. It's come time to preach. And Lord, I know that I can't do anything without the touch of God. And the power and that of you in our life. And Lord, we just ask for a little help now. And God, we pray that you'd speak to hearts. Help the one that might be lost without you. And Lord, I remember that night that you come to me and spoke to my heart. I pray you'd do that to somebody that might be lost here today. And Lord, if there's somebody here that just needs to draw close, pray they'd do it. Somebody needs some help, pray they'd find it in you today. And Lord, we're just trusting in you and that to do the work. We're going to try to do our part. And we know that you'll give the increase today and cause things that we sow in water and that to increase. And we thank you for that. Would you help us now? Say that serious news to him. Give us a touch. And that from heaven. For these things in Jesus' name do I ask and do pray. Amen and amen. All right. Hold your place as you sit down. Hold your place in 1 Kings chapter 9. But then take your Bible and go over to the book of 2 Chronicles. I want to go to the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 17. 2 Chronicles chapter 17, and we'll look at a few things there. I'll look in a few chapters, read just a few verses, and then preach. But 2 Chronicles 17 and verse 3. And the Bible said, and the Lord was with Jehoshaphat, because he walked in the first ways of his father David, and sought not unto Balaam, but sought to the Lord God of his father, and walked in his commandments, and not after the doings of Israel. Flip over just a few more chapters to chapter 20 and look in verse 32. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 32. And the Bible says this, and he walked in the way of Asa his father, and departed not from it, doing that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Then one more time, go over to chapter 26 of the book of 2 Chronicles and look in verse 3. 2 Chronicles chapter 26 and verse 3. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. Now let me park right here and I did just catch and that the theme of what I read. There is a theme to all of this from the book of 1 Kings all through the book of 2 Chronicles. If we go back to 1 Kings, he said, "And if thou wilt walk before me as David, thy father walked, in integrity of heart and in uprightness to do according to all that I have commanded thee, and will keep my statutes and my judgments." Did you notice that each one of those kings that the Lord talked to and that the Bible talked about, he told Solomon, walk after the way of David, thy father. When he talked about Asa and talked about Jehoshaphat, he said he walked after the way of his father. When he talked about King Uzziah, he said he walked after the way of his father, which was pleasing unto the Lord. And I want to preach today, if I might, to the fathers that are sitting here. And I know it's not Father's Day, but it don't have to be that way. And moms, I'll let you have a little break today, but I'm sure I'll preach to you while I'm doing it. And I know that I preached some time back on fathers, but just felt like this would be the message for the hour, and so that's what we're going to do on what makes a great father. I can ask you men something today that's got children. I can ask you this right now. If your children wanted to walk like you, how would they be walking? Would they be walking like the world? And I asked your mamas that too. If your children wanted to walk like us, let me ask you, how would they be walking? Would they be walking in that like the Lord would have them to? Or would they be walking like the world is walking today? As I've told you many times, I've heard my daddy tell me more than once, son, don't do as I do, but do as I say. And I want you to understand something. You can say that all day long, but your children are going to do like you. And you need to get a hold of that this morning, that you're the example and need to be the example that they're watching. And let me say today that maybe that you didn't have a good example as a father, but that means, friend, that don't mean that you can't serve God. If you go back and you look at one of the best kings that the nation of Judah ever had, in the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 33 and 34, you'll find a man by the name of King Josiah that loved God, that served God, but his beginning with his father was not that good, but he had examples in his life from somebody that taught him and that to serve God and love God. Amen. And listen, there's been many men that I've looked up to over the years and that to be an example that I could see how to serve God. You said, "You not got a Bible?" I do got a Bible. I can read my Bible and I understand what it says most of the time. Amen. If God will open it. But I'm glad that there were some men out there that I could look at and that I could learn from, even some ladies, friend, that I could look at and learn from in that how and that to serve God. But what makes a great father? Just because you give your children everything does not make you a great father. Your children don't need everything. Do you know that? One of the worst things that you can do is give them everything, friend, that they want, that they say that I want this and I want that. Hey, I'm not telling them to withhold everything from them, but one of the worst things that you can ever do is never tell your children no on some things. Take your Bible and look with me as I get started in the book of Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30 and look in verse 11. It talks about a generation that we've raised. Proverbs chapter 30 and look in verse 11. There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet not washed from their filthiness. Boy, it sounds like today, don't it? There's nobody wrong. Everybody's living right. If you're lost, you need to get saved. You can't be right with God without coming to Him and asking for salvation. There is a generation, oh how lofty are their eyes and their eyelids are lifted up. There's a generation that, whose teeth are as swords and their jaw teeth as knives to divide the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. They dishonored parents as in a dangerous place, wasn't it? Because they thought they were okay. Bible said that they are pure in their own eyes, yet they're not washed from their filthiness. Only way to get clean is to be washed in the blood of the Lamb, ain't it? Amen. They had disdain and had, friend, they were prideful in verse 13. And they devoured in that whoever got in their way in verse 14. And so there's generations that have been raised because they've not known the Lord. They've not been taught and that the way of the Lord. And by the way, that's all you can do is teach and live a life before them and encourage them and that to live for God. But once they go on their own, you better know that they're going to do what they want to do and pray that it's in serving God. I want to look this morning on what makes a great father. Number one, what makes a great father is that he provides for his family. Can I tell you today that even lost people can provide for their family? And you know, it's a shame when a saved man, somebody that says that he is a believer, would not provide for his family. What did the Apostle Paul say in 1 Timothy chapter 5? This is going to be exciting, ain't it? I can look at things already, and y'all can tell it's going to be an exciting message. Amen. Hey, listen, what did he say in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8? He said, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he denied the faith, and is worse than an infidel. If a man won't work, hey, what did Paul say at one time? If a man won't work, he ought not to eat. Amen. Hey, I'm going to tell you right now, the Bible said if you're a believer and you don't provide for your own, then you're worse than an infidel. He said you're worse than an unbeliever out there that won't work. That's a sorry place to be, ain't it? Amen. I believe, hey, daddies, listen to me today. Them youngins of yours are looking for you to provide for them. It's not for them to provide and that for their self and them to provide for you, but for you to provide and that for them. Listen, we have raised a society that does not know how to work nor cares to work. Amen. I can still work. Now listen, I may be about 60 pound overweight, but I can still work. Now I may not be able to work as good as I used to could, but I can still work, Brother Jeff, when I have to. Now listen, I got out there. Brother Jeff, you remember that pole I picked up that time and tore everything in here after my surgery? We finally got them things out the other day. And when I went down there to get them poles that first time, he said, you can't pick that thing up. I said, I bet I can. And you're talking about a telephone pole that's 16 foot long, and he thought I was going to pick it all up. Now, I ain't that crazy, amen. I ain't that strong either. But I picked that thing up, and I pulled it up to here, and I told it up in there. Most of y'all know the story. And somewhere between here and when I caught it like this, something in here tore. I mean, I had my gallbladder out in March, and that was in June, man. And so something in there tore, but I caught that thing. You know, we got them things out the other day, and it was all I could do to get them that far off the ground by picking them up. But I can still work. And I still know how to work. Let me say this today, that we've got a society and we've got generations of people raising families or trying to raise families that don't know how to work and ain't going to work. We just happened to fellow, this fellow caught me and Kelly the other night on the way out. Him and that girl that he's with, they's homeless, they's needing some help. I asked him if he had a job. He said, well, I've been doing a little bit of odd jobbing around here. And I mean, listen, everybody that I've talked to that's working in facility, you all are looking for people to go to work, ain't you? I mean, you're looking for people, ain't you, Brother Jeff? I mean, Denzel's looking for people to go to work, but yet people don't want to go to work. I don't know how I got there, but ain't that a good message? Listen, when they do get money, what do they do with it? I remember years ago when I was working for a feller, working on the farm, and we was, I hate to say it, but we was taking back out and grading it, and that's what you used to do, amen? As a feller come in, he worked one whole day, Brother Eddie paid him at the end of the day, and we never seen him anymore. What did he get? He got beer money. That's all he wanted. He wanted a little money and that to give him a little beer and that to get him through the day or through the next day. And listen, and he's going to go on his way. But we've got a lazy society. Can I tell you that good fathers will sacrifice their wants and probably their needs and that to see the needs of their children? You know, your children's got needs this morning. There's necessities that's got to be done. There's things that must be done. There's things that, hey, listen, I've watched mom and daddy's and that run up credit card bills and spend money. Listen, they'll spend the rent money. They'll spend the baby's formula money. And that just so that they can get what they want. You're sorry if you do that, by the way. Amen. When that goes, I ain't taking that off the radio either. Amen. That's going to go on the radio. Amen. I think it's hard when people rob out of their children's mouth and that to supply their wants. Well, preacher, I can't have everything I want if I got to spend my money over here. Hey, listen, friend, that's just the way it is today. Amen. But there is a physical necessity for your children, daddies, that must be taken care of. If you've got to get the bull by the horns and if you've got to take control of that checkbook and take it away from mama, mama, don't get mad at me. Hey, listen, because she's spending too much. And sometimes, let me park right here and say this right here. Sometimes mama needs control of the checkbook because daddy can't keep it under control. You know why I let my wife handle the checkbook? It's easier. It's just easier. She'll take care of it. We'd probably be busted if I had it. Not because I spend it all, it's just because I wouldn't keep up with it. Amen. I mean, there's one fella I know, as long as he had checks, he thought he had money. Hey, can I tell you, it don't work that way? Man, when you reach zero at the end of your bank account, it don't matter how many checks you got, you ain't got no money, man. That's the way it would be at my house. Well, let me tell you something, Daddy. If mama can't take control of it and take care of it, you need to, friend. There's necessities that must be provided for. There's physical necessities to see to their well-being, to see to their health and those things. But there's necessities to see to their spiritual needs. I've watched a lot of men take care of their children well, but they never took care of their spiritual needs. You know, your children's got spiritual needs. Amen. You need to teach them about the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to. I mean, these Sunday school teachers, these ladies and these men are going to do their job to teach them. I'm going to do my job and that to preach to them the truth. Amen. But you need to teach them. You need to have a time with them to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to have that. Hey, listen, you've got them far more than I've got them. You've got them far longer than these Sunday school teachers has got them. You need to tell them. You need to tell them from the time that they're this little right out here how much Jesus loves them and died for them because as a sinner that they need to get saved. You know, you should read the Bible to your children. You should pray with your children. Teach your children how to pray. Teach them how to pray. There's nothing wrong with that. Teach them Scripture. One of the first things they ought to learn is John 3:16. I won't disagree with that at all. Teach them how that Jesus loved them and died for them. I remember they used to teach us in Sunday school. That's why it's important to bring your young into Sunday school. I still remember stuff that I was taught in Sunday school from years ago. Most of y'all know that. But listen, he said, for God so loved the world. I remember we used to take out that world right there and put our own name in there. For God so loved Mark that he gave his only begotten son. Now the great thing about it was, is he did love the world. I'm not changing the scripture by no means. He did love the world, but you know inside the world is Mark right there. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You need to teach your children and that about the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to this morning. Daddies, listen to me. You need to, and I know some of you are working so much. I know. And so you don't intend to work much sometimes. And sometimes you can change that, by the way. Sometimes you can't. What do you mean? I mean, the way that some people's going to have to change working so much, they're going to have to change jobs. And by the way, the Lord said that, I'm going to be careful right here, but, you know, we work 12 hours a day and 6 days a week. If you go back and look in the Scripture over there, you know, when they was over in the vineyard, they was working for 12 hours, wasn't they? And He gave them one day's rest, and that was a Sabbath day. You saying we ought to work 12 hours a day, 6 days a week? That ain't what I'm saying. I'm just saying that most of us don't work 12 hours a day, 6 days a week. And God has gave us some great days, so you need to spend some time with your children telling them about the Lord. That's what I'm trying to tell you. daily devotions, daily prayer time with your wife. Your children need to see mom and daddy and that praying together. They probably see you fighting together and need to see you praying together. Well, that's good, wasn't it? Amen. Keep them in church. The necessity of your children is that they need to be in church. They need to be here. You need to be here. But they need to be here. That way they can learn and grow. We come back to the physical side and that of children. Do you know that a daddy does not give his children everything? I made mention of that at the beginning of this message. 1 Kings chapter 1, the Bible said, "Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, 'I will be king.' And he prepared him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. And his father," now that's what the Bible says in 1 Kings 1, "and his father had not displeased him at any time in saying, 'What hast thou done so? Why hast thou done so?' And he also was a very goodly man, and his mother bare him after Absalom." So we know that we're talking about one of David's sons. But the Bible said right here that his father there at one point never displeased him. Never said, "Why hast thou done so?" You know, your children don't need everything. They don't need the latest game system. They don't need the latest games. They don't need everything that the world's got. Hey, listen, somewhere along the line, they need to hear the word no sometimes. As a matter of fact, I believe that's probably what some of these youngins around here, some of the first words that they learn is no, ain't it? No, don't do that. No, don't do this. No, don't do that. Why? Because they're into everything, ain't they? Huh? No. Don't do it. 1 Samuel chapter 3, the Bible said, "For I have told him," talking about the Lord is talking to Samuel. He said, "For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not." Talking about Eli. The Bible said right there that Eli's sons, that was Hophni and Phinehas, they made themselves vile. They were in the place of the priest, and they were cheating men, they were fornicating men, but yet the Bible said right there that he restrained them not. Do you know that it is not my place to correct your children? I'd rather just soon pat them on the head and give them a piece of candy and tell them how good they are doing. You know, I don't even get on to them most of the time for running, unless they just right in the middle of preaching, we might have to get on to them. Other than that right there, I'll say, "Chase me, Mark, chase me, get me, get me." Everybody says I'm teaching him bad things, but I like to get him. Amen. But you know, somewhere along the line, them young'uns got to hear no. They have to understand. One thing, you're setting them up for failure in the world if you give them everything that they want. Right. But two, you're setting them up for failure. Friend, you're just setting them up for failure spiritually if you give them everything that they want.
Right.
You know, Heavenly Father don't give you everything you want.
Right.
Thank God He hadn't gave us everything that we wanted. Listen, He don't give us everything. But right here it talked about David and said his father had not displeased him at any time and said, "Why hast thou done so?" It's going to displease your children when they say no. But listen, friend, that's just the way it is sometimes. You know what's better for them than they know what's better for them. So Father, He meets and provides for their necessities, whether it is physically or whether it is spiritually. And let me say this, that if you're going to provide for them spiritually, then you're going to have to be spiritual yourself. You're going to have to be spiritual. You're going to have to be able to lead them. You're going to have to be able to take this scripture. Hey, listen, why is it, do you think? I really believe why Solomon and Nat wrote the book of Proverbs, or he wrote most of the book of Proverbs. Let me say that. Why did he do that? Because the Lord told him over here, he said, "If you'll walk in the integrity of David your father," he said, "then I'll keep you on the throne. But if ye shall turn, if ye shall all turn from following me," ye are who? Your children. Why do you think that Solomon always warned them in that to follow the Lord, stay away from the world, and to gain wisdom? Lord had told him right here. He said, look, you teach them, you show them how to live, and let them follow me. First thing you need to tell your children is that they need to be saved. Know the Lord. Follow the Lord. Number two, he not only provides for his family, but he will also shelter his children and his family. The word shelter simply means to stay, to be covered or protected, being in a secure place. You know, one of the places when your children are at home or they're in your presence, that's when they ought to feel the best protected. I've made this statement many times and I mean it. I'll fight for your children. Listen to me, mamas and daddies. I'll fight for your children. I will. But you need to fight for your children. I fight for them every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, spiritually. When I stand up here, when I go to my study, I'm fighting for them just like I'm fighting for you. But I'll tell you this, if it comes to it physically, I'll fight for them. Luke chapter 13, Jesus said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killeth the prophets and stoneth them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and you would not. That old mama hen during that storm, she'll just take them wings and them little old chicks will come running under there and she'll cover them up. And you can't see them. You might see their feet sticking out, but you can't see the rest of them. Why? She's got them sheltered. Bible talks about many times being under His shelter, being under the wings of His shelter, in the shadow of His shelter. Psalm 61 says, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. We've been studying about the built-in dictionary in the King James Bible in Sunday school. Started on that this morning, the young adult class. He said, for thou hast been a shelter for me, and a strong tower from the enemy. What is a shelter? Well, it's a strong tower, ain't it? When God shelters us, it is a strong tower. We can run to Him and we can hide. But I'm telling you something this morning, daddies, your children will be able to do the same thing. You ought to protect them physically. Yeah, and I know that you would. I know that you wouldn't let anybody intentionally hurt your children, and not even unintentionally. You'd do your best and that to stop it. But you know that you need to fight for your children and you need to shelter your children and that from the world. Now there's a fine line, and I'm not saying anything y'all ain't probably heard me say before. There is a fine line in sheltering your children and imprisoning your children. There's a fine line somewhere. I don't know where it's at. I don't have everything figured out. I know a lot of times that you feel like building a wall that's about 30 feet high, getting behind it and then peeking out every now and again and see what's going on in the world. We feel that way, don't we? I mean, if I could build that wall, I'd build that wall, brother. I mean, I'll just be honest with you. I feel that way so much about the world that I just get tired of looking at it. I get tired of dealing with it. I just don't want to deal with it anymore. And I know you want to protect your children. I talked to an undertaker one time. When somebody tells me that they homeschool their children, I always want to know why. I told you a million times, I wouldn't send my children to public school. They ain't no way. And I know some of you's doing, that's fine. You and the Lord's got to deal with all that. But I always wonder why some people homeschool their children. And I talked to Untracker one time, he had six kids, and he said, we homeschool everyone. I said, why do you do that? He said, because we simply just want them to maintain their innocence as long as they can. I thought, that is a good reason. That's a good reason. Let them be kids as long as they can be kids. Let their mind be clean as long as it can be clean. You know what? You don't know what's going on in that 7 or 8 hours that you send your kid away from your home and put them in somebody's classroom. Listen, you put them in somebody's classroom with 35 other kids, you don't know what's going on, friend. Hey, listen, we're living in a wicked time and in a wicked world. You may not agree with me, but that's the way I see it, friend. Bible said in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 10, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. You need to teach your children about the wickedness of the world. That's a wicked place. I was sheltered enough. I'd never been, really been around drugs in my whole life until I was 19 years old and went on the public workforce. Never been around that stuff. And then I went to work in a facility where I could probably count on one hand the number of people that didn't do drugs. And man, you really didn't want to be around them if they was on the tow motor. They'd be bouncing off a log going down through there. I'm just saying. Listen, you need to teach them about the wickedness of the world, but you need to teach them how they separated from the wickedness of the world. You need to teach them about the wonderment of the world, that it's going to be, it's going to be inviting. And it's going to be enticing. And there's going to be things that they want to do, especially as they get older. But then you've got to teach them to say no, to stay separated out of it. You know, this world has a lot of wonderment to it, don't it? Looks like a lot of good times out there, don't it? A lot of wonderful times. Boy, we can go do this and do that and spend money here and spend money there. I ain't get you spending money if you got it and have at it, man. Make sure you tithe. Give to missions. Amen. You know what? I'd probably pay my light bill and my house payment too while I was at it. Because you know what? They'll repossess that thing. Cut your light bill off. If you got money and you want to go have a good time in this world, you just remember where you got that money at. Who provided? You say, well, I provided. No, God gave you the help to go to work. Amen?
Right.
God gave you the help. Boy, it's good this morning, ain't it? Amen? Well, I didn't know how this thing was going to go. Still not sure how it's going. But there is a wonderment and that to the world that draws. You need to warn your children about that thing. Remember my daddy used to try to warn me about being around certain people. He used to try to warn me to stay away from certain people. Didn't want to be around this one or that one. If they acted like this, acted like that, you know why? Because if you let your children get around them people, they'll be acting that way after a while. Drag them away from God. You need to teach them about the storms that are out in the world. The sadness that is out in the world. The sin that's out in the world. That there's going to be a reaping day that comes to that sin that's out in the world. Teach them to be separate. The Lord told David, or told Solomon over here, He said, you walk after the way of David, thy father walked. Well, David committed murder, preacher. David committed adultery and that with Bathsheba. And yes, he did. And yes, he did. But at least he got right with God. Teach your children that when they do wrong, they can get right with God. Is there one of you sitting in here today that when your children do wrong, that you wouldn't let them get right with you? If they wanted to get right, you say, well, I ain't going to. Well, you may not, but God sure is different. Look in Luke chapter 15 over there with the prodigal son. Am I doing all right this morning?
Amen.
All right, just making sure here. We're okay this morning, I hope. Listen, you know the reason I tell you to teach your children to be separate and you shelter them and act from the world and things of the world, sin and all that, they're going to have to deal with it soon enough. I ran into we had decided as a church, this is probably about 5 or 6, 7 years ago, that we were going to help an evangelist. Well, actually, he pastored. He pastored up in West Virginia. And he was from down here. And the church made their mind up that we were going to help them. We were going to give him $500, okay? And so, I hadn't yet, that was on Sunday, and we hadn't took care of that yet. And this is the Lord. This is so good about the Lord. I had pulled into a gas station that at that time I didn't go to that much. And I could not find a gas place there to pull in at. They were all full, so I go down there on the very end and pull in. And guess who I pull into right next to? Why, is that preacher from West Virginia. And I said, hey, brother. I said, the church has said we're going to send you some money. I'll just cut you a check now and we'll give it to you while you're standing here. So when I got done pumping my gas, I just went out there on the hood of my truck and wrote him the check and handed it to him. He said, brother, you just don't know. He said, we come down here for a meeting. He said, we didn't have any money left to get down here. Now, that's a little scary sometimes, ain't it? But you know what he said? This is what he said. He said, we hadn't told our kids about that yet. He said, we haven't told our children. They have got two, a boy and a girl. And he said, we haven't told our children yet about that. And he said, the Lord just handled all that. And that struck me strange. Can I tell you that your children probably don't need to know about all your problems? Let them be children. There comes a time that you need to teach them, hey, we are struggling right here. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray and watch God move. But there's just sometimes you just need to not even tell your children and burden your children with that problem. And just go on and pray and seek God. Number three, and last of all, a good father. How to be a good father. He'll love his children. We're living in a generation where dads seem to not love their children. The Bible talks about Romans 1. We're living in a generation where moms don't love children. I don't understand that. I don't understand how women can birth and add a child into this world and not love that child. The Bible talks about that right there in Romans chapter 1, that's without natural affection. Amen. Without natural affection. Genesis 37 even said that what? Now Israel, talking about Jacob, now Israel loved Joseph. Loved his children. I believe he'll love on them. You know you're to love on your children. You're just to love on them. I like to love on them, but you're to love on them. I tell them you love them. I mean, hug them up and love them. Let them know, hey, love them when they're aggravating. I know your children ain't aggravating. Huh? I know your children ain't aggravating. They're perfect, ain't they? Amen. Let me say this to you all that do know that your children are aggravating sometimes. Love them anyway. Huh? Love them even when they do wrong. You got to correct them. I'm going to deal with that here in a minute. You got to correct them, but you still need love on them. You still need love on them. He'll love them. That father that is wanting to do right and wanting to do the best that he can, he will love on them and he'll love them so much that he'll want to train them upright. Take your Bible and go to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6. And I sound like a broken record sometimes. I know I do. I sat in the study and looked at this message and looked over and I thought, Lord, these people are just going to think I'm a broken record. It's the same thing all the time. Deuteronomy chapter 6, look in verse 6. Talking about raising your children now, loving on your children. If you're going to love your children, you're going to have to give them the Word of God. Deuteronomy 6, verse 6, and these words, which I command thee this day, shall be in thine heart. Need to be in your heart. Moms and dads, need to be in your heart. Now watch what he said in verse 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house, and on thy gates. You'll talk about it all the time, and have it laid around your house where they can read it. So, preacher, we want to watch a ball game. That's fine, watch a ball game. But I'm telling you, you ought to teach your children the Word of God. You ought to make sure they know the Word of God. This is the only book that is going to help them and get them through this world is this book. Hey, I can be having a bad day. I'll either go in my study or I'll get it out there in the living room. Wherever I'm at, I'll sit down and I'll begin to read it and it brings peace and that to my heart. There's times I'm saying, and that don't even happen. But I take that book. There's been times that I've struggled to read this. You ever been there? You ever been there where you struggled to read this book? I mean, struggled hard. And that's really, I ain't talking about falling asleep. Brother Peter Ricker was talking about that when he was preaching at home, coming and falling asleep. You know how many times my wife's come and got me out of the study? And she said, I heard you snoring in there. Yeah, it's because I was asleep. That's why you heard me snoring in there. One of the worst things that ever happened was my sister sent me this nice desk chair down there at the house, and it comes up behind my head. It's got this built-in pillow on it. And you can lean that thing back, and I'll lean back to meditate or think about what the Bible just said, and about 30 minutes later, I'm waking up. That's right, man. It just takes longer to study when you do stuff like that. It's
takes longer to study.
Look what he said. He said, give him the Word of God. Proverbs 22 said, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from that. You need to get them in the right church, put them in the right Bible, put them under the right preaching, but you need to teach them. You need to do that. Tell them how much Jesus loves them. Teach them how to pray. Teach them how to sing. Teach them how to read their Bible. And you do that by example. Father that loves his children will correct his children and control his children. You know it is your responsibility to control your child? I ain't talking about correcting them. I'm talking about controlling them right now. It's your responsibility. I know you can't help it when they cry sometimes. I understand that as they get older. But you know what they're going to do? They're going to push you to the limit. And they're going to want to do their own thing. And you're the one that's got to get them under control. I was in the Home Depot one time. I believe it was up in Lenore City. And man, they just child. I don't blame that child. I blame the parents. And it was just acting. I better be careful. It was just acting up. Let's say that. And she kept saying, boy, when you get home, you're going to have a time out. When you get home. Hey, home wasn't the problem at that time. Where they were at was the problem. Get them by the ear. Ain't that right, Brother Jeremiah? Works, don't it? Control your child. Correct your child. You know what? You can say that you love your child, but if you let your children do whatever they want to do, friend, you don't love your children. Proverbs 29 said, the rod of reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings his mother to shame. Proverbs chapter 3 said, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son, in whom he delighteth. You know God loves me. You know how I know God loves me? The Bible tells me He loves me. He saved me. But you know how else I know God loves me? He corrects me. He corrects me. You know how that child's going to know that you love them? You correct them. And I've told you 1,000 times, I don't mean you don't start out beating on them. Friend, you correct them. Sometimes they need a talking to. Sometimes they do need to be whipped. Friend, that's between you and mama. I listen in the Lord. But listen, the Bible did say that for whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth. Well, Lord, don't beat on me all the time to correct me. I'm trying to live for Him. I'm trying to be a good son. But you know, there's just some things in my life that gets in there that don't need to be in there. You know what He'll do? He'll just correct me on it. He'll send me some preaching. He'll send me a kind word from somebody. Sometimes it's a rough word from somebody. But He'll work on that. But you know what will eventually happen? If I don't want to take care of it, He'll eventually start beating on you. You know, the Bible said in Proverbs 13, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chaseth him betimes. That word betimes means many and different. The Bible said, chasten thy son while there is hope. Why? Because there's going to come a point where all the chasing in the world ain't going to help them. The Bible talks about, even with the nation of Israel, that there come a time when there was no remedy. While they're still being able to be taught, listen, say, preacher, I've done everything that you said to do. And they're still out in the world. Just keep praying for them. They're past time for you to correct them. They're past time for you to chasten them. They're past time for you to control them. But I do know there's a Heavenly Father out there that can do that. And we don't pray for the Lord to just beat the fire out of somebody. We do pray that the Lord will get their attention. Withhold not correction from thy child. Proverbs 23. For if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. They'll sound like it, but they won't. You know, most of the verses you find on correction and the rod is in the book of Proverbs, and that was wrote by Solomon, the wisest man on the face of the earth. Think about that for just a second. He said, if you'll just follow me, Solomon, walk in the ways of thy father and follow me. Last thing, I want you to get this right here. If you don't get nothing else, I said, you point them children to the Lord Jesus Christ. You point them toward the Lord. Let them know that He loves them, wants to save them. and will save them. He said, thou walk before me as David thy father walked, in integrity of heart and in uprightness, do according to all that I have commanded thee, and will keep my statutes and my judgments. Then will I establish thy throne, thy kingdom upon Israel forever, as I promised David thy father. There was a reward to that thing. I ain't even going to talk about that. Do you know there is a reward to raising your children right? There's a reward to that. I think we took my mom and dad out. Was it for mama's birthday or went to Lenore City? I can't remember. And so we got back in the car. We done the driving, done the paying, done everything. It was something for them. Got back in the car and pulled the car around there and picked mom and daddy up from the restaurant. And got in the car and got ready to go and was pulling out. And daddy said, we just want to thank you for taking us out. I said, oh, you're fine. No. I really mean we want to thank you for taking us out. Now, I'm not tooting my horn and blowing my own horn. One, the Lord Jesus Christ is who changed me and made me different. But I had a mother and a father that loved me and would teach me right. Now, as I told you before, you may not have had that, but that don't mean you can't still serve God. Understand? Listen to me now. Amen. But they thank us. And here's what he said. He said, we've got people in our church and in our Sunday school class that children their age have just moved back home. And not serving God or not doing what they need to do. I guess what I'm trying to tell you is sometimes daddy's example was good and sometimes it wasn't the best in the world. But he tried. He tried. So you just need to try. Learn what's right and try to live before them kids right. Raise them right. Do right. If you're going to be a good dad, that's what you're going to have to do. I don't know what you're going to do with it this morning. Let's bow our heads. Let's bow our heads. You might be lost and need to come and get saved. Let's come and get a verse of invitation if we would. Dads, I want to encourage you. Strive to be a good dad. Teach them how much the Lord Jesus Christ loves them and wants to save them. You say, that's such a personal... Hey, listen. Listen, it is a personal thing. That's why you need to deal with it. That's why mama needs to deal with it. The more you need to tell them youngins that there's coming a day that there's going to be a voice that they're going to hear. They can't see him, but they're going to hear him. And you need to teach them what to do. Just like Eli taught Samuel over there. You need to teach them. Love on them. Correct them when they need it. Praise them when they need it. Take care of them. Provide for them. But point them to the Lord Jesus Christ at all costs. Make sure they know Jesus as their Savior. You're going to be a good dad. That's what it takes. I'm going to pray. We're going to sing. If you need to come, I want you to come. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you for this day. We thank you for these folk being so attentive and that to the Word of God. I've tried to preach what you give us. And Lord, I pray it's been a blessing. I try not to be hateful, try not to be smart with these folk. But Lord, just give them my heart this morning, no matter about having to be a good father from the Word of God. There may be somebody here that's lost without you, never been saved. Let them come and get saved. Maybe somebody here just needs to draw close. I pray that they'll come this morning. Help us during this invitation. For these things in Jesus' name, we do ask and pray. Amen.